this morning. And I appreciate that song about Jesus. I love Him more each day. And you listen to the message this morning as we're going to talk to you on that subject, building on the rock. Building on the rock. Luke chapter 6. We're going to read a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ here, beginning with verse 46 this morning. And everybody in here will fit into one of these two categories. There's two categories shown here in this scripture and the way people spend their lives. And everyone here will fit into one of these two. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Everybody look at it there. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever, this is the first man, cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Anybody who knows anything about building at all knows that any contractor, any builder in here today would not even think of building a house without a foundation. You wouldn't even consider it. I don't care. You build it out of the most sturdy material. You would not go out here on a sandy hillside and build a house. It's unthinkable. And here the Lord Jesus Christ said, there's two kinds of people in the world. Everybody's going to build a house. The question is, what is your house built on? He said, there's one man, he's going to build his house. He goes down and he puts that foundation on a rock. The building you're sitting in this morning is not just sitting here on top of topsoil. All the way underneath this wall, the outside wall, all the way around here, especially under this wall right here, there is tons and tons of rock. We spent like $15,000 before we ever laid a block here on this building. As you know, over here, right along this wall down through here, it was soft. There was like soft ground. We had to dig with bulldozers from about right here over about 6 foot on the other side of that wall right there, dig it down like 12 to 15 feet deep. You could drive two cars down in there side by side. You remember that big hole we had down through here? And fill it with gravel, rock, up to a certain point, and then red clay field dirt from there on up. And then on top of that, poured cement, concrete, great big foundation to hold these walls up. This thing weighs a lot of pounds, brother. And there had to be a foundation under it. It wouldn't have lasted very long if we'd have just said, well, let's build us a church, and started building. Now, we had to build it on the rock. Now, your life this morning is like a house. Every day you live, you're building a house. That's your life, represented by your life. And every day you go to school, every day you go to work, you're putting materials in this house that you're building. The question is this morning, what kind of foundation is under you? Every man, every boy and girl in here this morning is either got your house built on the rock, typified by the Lord Jesus Christ, or else you're just saying, I'll just live my life without Jesus, and you are pictured as the man who built a house without a foundation. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, your house, your life will never stand the test of time if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life and heart. You need Him this morning more than you realize you need Him. You need Him. Now, I'm going to talk about that first fellow this morning. And the Bible said he's a wise man. And he's a wise man because he come to Jesus, he heard His saying, and did them. He's like a man that built his house upon the rock. The first thing I want to say about that first fella is that he believed in the rock. He believed in the rock. He went out there to build him a house one day, and he said, there's a rock down there somewhere, and I'm going to get down to that rock before I ever start building my house. It doesn't do a person any good to teach Sunday school, to sing in the choir, to join the church, to be baptized, to read the Bible, to try to do anything to God for God until they first get on that rock. You must be on the rock. Boy, I knew I was on target good while ago. When Dale said, let's sing that song, they were singing, I'm standing on the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm telling you this morning, as an 18-year-old boy at Nebo Baptist Church, I got on the rock. Now, I'm not talking about getting baptized or joining a church. Brother, I got on the rock. Has there ever been a time when you got on the rock? Has there ever been a time when you scraped away all the old self-righteousness and said, I'm starting building my life on Jesus Christ and building my life upon Him and Him alone? If that's never happened to you, you're in bad shape. He believed in the rock. He knew the rock was the only sure foundation. He had no faith in the sand. He wouldn't build until he found that rock. I can see him going out there and taking his shovel, his wheelbarrow, and boy, he got out there and he began to dig. He kept throwing that sand aside. That sand ain't no good. That sand represents the other religions of the world and faith in other things. He'd throw that sand away like that, and finally kept getting deeper and deeper, and he dug down this deep and that deep and this deep and that deep, and I don't know how far he had to go, but finally he got down there and he went, bang! Boy, that shovel hit something. He said, there it is. That's what I wanted on right there. He got all of that up and he got it down on the rock. He said, now I'm ready to build my house. You know, a lot of people have never done that. They don't even believe there is a rock. He believed that there was a rock down there, or he would never made an effort to get to it. Yeah, they don't even believe there is a rock. They don't even believe there is something sure and solid that you can build your life upon this morning. But I promise you, there is. Jesus is real. He's alive. He's here this morning. And you too can have Him for your foundation. But not only that, He spared no trouble in getting to the rock. He dig deep. He dig deep. He made sure. He made sure that His house was on the rock. He could have said, oh, that's too much trouble digging all the way down out of that rock. I believe I'll just build my house here and let's see how it goes. No, sir. He took trouble. He took all the trouble necessary getting to the rock. I've heard people say, well, Brother Danny, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm really a child of God or not. I have people all the time. They'll come up to me and I'll say, you know you're saved? They'll say, well, really, I just really don't know if I am or not. I don't know if I'm saved or I'm not saved. You know what their problem is? They never took the time or the trouble to get down to the rock. They never have. Most people have never spent 2 hours reading their Bible out in the woods somewhere seeking the face of God to find out if they're really a child of God or not. I'm telling you this morning, life is too short, death is too sure, eternity's too long, hell is too hot, and heaven's too wonderful not to spend time knowing whether or not you're saved. There ain't nothing in the world more important than that. There is nothing more important than that. You know, we rubbed shoulders with a lot of people yesterday. And we took those kids down there and they were going to have a trip for the young people to Six Flags and then on into the camp meeting. And boy, we rubbed shoulders with, I guess, 200,000 or 300,000 it looked like. I mean, to tell you, there's a slew of them. And we'd stand there and we was trying to witness, you know, casually. Like, and these girls, we had Cindy Randolph and all these girls, there was Ashley and these girls, they were in, and I'd have them to ask a question and I'd answer it loud, so everybody around us could hear. And they'd say, well, what do you got to do to be saved? And I'd answer them real loud so everybody with around about 40 people could hear it. I'd say, well, the first thing you got to do is realize that you're a sinner. And then you realize that if you died, you'd go to hell. And there was people looking around, you know, like here. I'd say, there's only two places people can go when they die. One's heaven, the other's hell. People would look around like that, you know. Right on the shirt says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's a bunch of other church groups there. You know, everybody's got their thing on their t-shirts nowadays. There's this one teenage boy standing back behind us and he said to his girlfriend, he said, there sure is a lot of God shirts these days. I said, amen, amen. Well, there's a lot of Christians there. We're witnessing all over the place, being a witness for the Lord. And do you know something? Well, I started with, and one night Ashley liked to kill me. She got mad at me, and I just picked her out because she's standing beside me here. And I said, patted my hand on my shoulder, and I said, did you know this girl right here's got a disease worse than AIDS? And there's a guy sitting behind me. And I said, that's the way Brother Ryman and them witnessed up north, so I thought I'd try it. I said, she's got a disease worse than AIDS. One boy back here whispered to his girlfriend, he said, it must be herpes. Well, that's the dumbest fellow I ever run into in a long time. He thinks herpes worse than AIDS. I said, no, it's sin. It's sin. And it's going to kill her. It's going to kill all of us. We've all got it. We're all going to die. There's only one cure. The blood of Jesus Christ. That's right. That's true. And that is true. We've all got something worse than AIDS. It's called sin. And the only cure for sin is coming to Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, come in to somebody and say, did you hear about so-and-so? They're going to die. Well, what else is new, brother? We're all going to die. You're all going to die. None of us are going to be here long. We're all going to die. We've all got the disease. Death come upon all men. For that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ is the only answer for your soul. You're not wasting your time making your calling election sure. You're not wasting your time to get your Bible down. I was here this morning and I didn't know I'd saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'd get out somewhere this evening. I'd go up in the woods or I'd get in a prayer closet. I'd get down and I'd open that book and I'd say, now, God, that life is too short. Death is too sure. I want to know I'm saved. God, show me. If I'm not saved, save me right now. And I'm going to believe in what you said in that book. Get down on the rock, friend. Get down on the rock. The devil, as long as the devil can confuse you about salvation, you'll never be worth much for God until you get that first thing settled, and that's put your foundation on the rock. He spared no trouble in getting to the rock. Now, I tell you what, the world's too fast nowadays. Everybody's going too fast. It's a zoom, zoom, go, go, zoom, 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 zoom. You say, well, Brother Danny, you do that all the time. Yeah, but I took time out to make sure I'm on the rock. Then you can zoom, zoom, zoom all you want to. But the problem with most people is they're too busy. They're too busy. You say, well, you want to go to church? Let's go pray a while. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got a little league ball game. Got this. Got that. Got a bowl. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. Got to do that. And the devil's plan is to keep you so busy you ain't got time for God until you die and he gets you in hell. That's the devil's trick. Like that businessman, you know, he's all rusted up and he come into a store one morning, pulled into a store, come running in like that, got him packed chewing gum, paid for it, and he started leaving and said, which way was I going when I come in here? Guy said, you come that way. He said, well, I've had breakfast. We're going to run out the door. The world of people's crazy nowadays. Did you know that people will not take time? You know what one of the devil's biggest tricks is? Is getting you so tied up and tangled up and busy and tied up with a million things that you never take time to pray and find out where you're going when you leave this world. I promise you one thing. I don't care how smart you are, how rich you are, how intelligent you are. I don't say how cool you think you are this morning. Big boy, one of these days you're going to bite to dust. And the death angel's going to come right over you. You're going to have a heart attack, friend. You're going to have a car wreck. Or by natural causes, something's going to take you out of this world. Are you listening to me? It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. And my friend, this morning, we need to have our faith on Jesus Christ, the solid rock that is the only promise anybody's got for making heaven their home. Have you did it? Have you did it? Have you did it? Have you made it right? Have you got your faith in the right place? In the right one? He spared no trouble. Not only that, he built his house upon it. He lived his life for Jesus. Many people know there's a rock down there, but won't build on it. There's a lot of people down in the world like that. They know there's a God. They know there's a Jesus, but they refuse to build their house upon it. But then the last thing about this first fella, he was not disappointed with the results. It's a proven thing. When the flood came, when testing time come, stood. Now listen. You may get along pretty good right now and you think you are leaving the Lord out of your life. You may be mean and hateful and hard to get along with, and mean to your wife, or mean to your family, or mean to your husband, or you may just be a total grouch. And you think, boy, I don't need God, I'll do what I want to. But your life will not stand the test of time. When testing time comes and God brings you down, you ain't going to have nothing to stand on. See, if you'll live, have you ever been to a funeral of one who died without God? When the flood come and the stream come up and shook that house, the Bible said that other man's house fell. It's like a story of the three little pigs. Represents this truth. And I think the first little pig built his house out of straw or something like that. The next little pig built his house out of sticks. And then that other little pig built his out of brick. And a big bad wolf comes and said, "I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down." Boy, he huffed and he puffed. And he went and blew away the straw house. And he huffed and he puffed and he blew away the stick house. And he huffed and he puffed and he blew and he blew and he blew on that brick house. But it would not fall. And I'm telling you this morning, that old devil out there, he's the big bad wolf. And one of these days he's going to huff and puff and blow against your life. And if your house ain't on the right foundation, made out of the right stuff, you're going to fly all to pieces. It happens every day. Second man, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a foolish man. Because he built without a foundation. Let me give you four things about this man. Number one, he disregarded the rock. He ain't no use in me going down to the rock. He probably heard of the rock. He may have even believed in the rock. But believing and hearing about it wasn't enough. He disregarded the rock and left it out of his life. He figured he could get along just as well without the rock. He thought, like a lot of people today, "I can get along without the Lord. I don't need the Lord. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't need God in my life. I'll do what I want to do." Yes, sir, that's what he thought. But woe unto those that are wise in their own eyes, or just too lazy to dig down to the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 said, "Other foundation can no man lay." Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us about people like that who leave God out, wise in their own eyes, said, "I don't need God." The most foolish man in Marion is the man that says, "I don't need God." Everybody in this town needs God. Everybody in this town needs God. You may think everything's going good now. You may not feel the need of God right now. But soon as trouble comes and that storm comes in your life, you realize you need Him real bad. Have you ever noticed how you can think you're getting along pretty good, you know, and everything's real cool and everything's going great, and all of a sudden, boy, you get scared. You almost have a car wreck. All of a sudden you realize you do need God, don't you? And I'll tell you, when that storm comes in your life, your whole life flashes in front of you. You know, personally, now, you know, every man to his own like. Some people like to ride horses. Some people like to play golf. Some people like to do all kinds of things. That's their business. But personally, I never have been one. I ain't crazy over rides. I'm really not. I take my kids, let them ride the ride, the ponies and all that kind of stuff. But I never have done much for me. And I'm not afraid of them, but I don't see what, you know, it just don't seem make sense to wait in line that long and ride 30 seconds. They all say, "Right down there," they say, "Danny, you going to ride this? Brother Danny, you going to ride that?" And I say, "Yes, sir, I'll ride anything you'll ride." I wasn't going to let them teenage boys, you know, outdo me. I thought, well, you know, I ain't going to let them think a preacher's a chicken. Even Pam, I ain't going to let them know it. And I said, "Yeah, I'll do whatever you'll do." And boy, they started telling me about this ride. They said they got this big thing down there. It's called a free fall. And what this free fall ride is, this little thing looks like a little bitty elevator, except it ain't got no front in it. Just like a little bar right here. Takes you straight up, 9 stories high. And then pushes you out over a little ledge and drops you. And it's the same as falling off a 9-story building. It's the exact same thing. And I mean, brother, ain't a building in Marion half that high. And they said, "You ride that?" And I said, "Yep." And I said, "I'll get on it." So I said, "Oh my soul." We went up and looked at that thing. We stood there, and the closer I got to it, the more scared I started getting. Now, the reason you say, "Oh, Brother Danny, you know them young boys ain't scared." They ain't got enough sense to be scared. That's your problem. There's a difference between being brave and being stupid. I remember I used to do anything off a diving board. I mean, I'd do gainers, backward flips, all of it. I don't do that no more. It ain't because I'm ticking, it's because I've wised up. You can kill yourself like that. So we kept getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Boy, you'd see them people coming off that thing. Had a big sign right here. If you have ever had heart problems, if you have ever had back problems, if you have ever had, I mean anything, do not get on here. Well, I went by all that, and when we got on that thing, they strapped us in, and I think the whole four, we sitting there like this. I start saying, "Oh Lord." Buddy, you'll think of sins. You'll start confessing your sin. You're like, "God, if I've done anything wrong, forgive me. God, forgive me for being in this stupid thing." Then he goes, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then it shoots up like this. Here we went. Nine story. Boy, you talk about taking your breath. You know how you go on a Ferris wheel, man. You lose your stomach. I'm talking about like seven or eight or nine of them things high and about 10 times faster. They set you out and then they push you out over the ledge like this. You can look, you can see 30, 40 miles. You can see the city of Atlanta. You can see everything. I just closed my eyes. So, I said, "Oh God, help me. Lord, get us down there." I was praying. I ain't kidding you. I ain't lying to you. And I said, "Here we go." Boy, about that time, my bottom dropped out of that thing. My whole life almost passed in front of me. I mean, and then what it does is it turns you down here and you wind up upside down with your feet sticking up. That's the way you end. It turns you all the way over, and when you stop, you're like this with your feet sticking straight up and you're upside down. I got off there and I said, "It's amazing how that you can think you're right with God until something happens that scares you. You can think of all kinds of things to confess sin, can't you?" That's the way this man was. Oh, you know what some people's problem is? Everything's going good. Everything's going smooth. You don't feel the need of God. You wait. You wait. Something will happen one of these days. Something will happen that'll just shake you and jar you, wake you up. You say, "Oh, I do need Him. I do need God. I do need God." My job as a preacher is to alarm you and wake you up, shake you, and say, "You do need Him. You're in trouble this morning." Without God Almighty in your life. He began building too soon. No foundation. You know what that means? He wanted a quick, cheap job. Most young people want to jump into life too quick without thinking. They don't, quote, have time for the rock. How many people will you go out and invite to come to church this Sunday? And they'd say, "I work on Sundays. It's Labor Day weekend. I go here. Sunday's the only day I have to rest." You know what the problem is? They don't have time for the rock. Not only that, number three, he built without a foundation. On the earth is sand beside a river. That's a dumb thing to do, wasn't it? Right beside that, the river there, that stream. He felt the need of a house of refuge for his body. But he didn't realize the need of an infallible rock for his foundation for his house. The fourth thing, the last thing I'll say about him this morning, his hopes were suddenly cut off. The flood came. The flood always comes. Bible said that man's born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just as sure as sparks fly up, that's how sure it is trouble's going to come to your life. It never turns out like you think it will, does it? We make plans and we think, "Well, when I get ahead a little bit and I get my bills paid up, I'm going to enjoy life and I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to retire and enjoy this and enjoy that." I had a man tell me recently, he said, "I'm just going to take off, you know. Me and my wife's going to get in their motor home. We're going to travel and see the countryside and da da da." And you know, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what they want to do. But how many people do you know that worked all their life and really planned to enjoy their retirement and get their house paid for and their bills paid off and everything, and right when they got to retirement age, died before they could ever enjoy it? It don't turn out like you think it will. It don't turn out like you think it will. Many people will see their whole life go up in smoke. You have two representatives that I can give you of these two groups this morning. One would be Thomas Paine or Voltaire, somebody like that. The other would be Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry was a commentator. He was a man of God. He wrote the famous Matthew Henry commentary, "Loved the Lord," spent tens of thousands of hours in the Word of God, writing comments on each verse by verse throughout the Bible. Loved the Lord. Thomas Paine was a atheist, and Voltaire was an atheist who left the rock out of their life. Both of them come time to die. Thomas Paine, Voltaire, these men begin to scream out, "My soul is abandoned! If there is a hell, I know I'm going! I'm forsaken by God!" And died like that. But Matthew Henry, when he breathed his last few breaths, started saying things like, "Sin is bitter. The grace of God is wonderful. I bless God that I have inward supports." That's what he said before he died. He said, "Sin is bitter." But he said, "There's something down inside me that's holding me up and is going to carry me across death's river." He built on the rock, brother. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. One of these days, old Brother Danny here is going to die if the Lord don't come. Sure he is. I believe with all my heart, Brother Vince, I believe with all my heart that right when I need him, he'll be there. I believe right when I need him, he'll show up. You say, "Brother Danny, I just don't feel like I could die." I don't have dying grace this morning. The reason you don't, because you ain't dying. But when dying times comes for the child of God, there'll be something just move in there at that last minute and hold you up. And you'll be glad that you put that life of yours on the rock. Nothing else is going to stand. You're wasting your time being a foolish man. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you sure you're saved? What are you building your life on this morning? Christians praying? Please, everyone bow your head, close your eyes. No one looking around, please. God's speaking to your heart. Let me ask you a question. Is your life on the rock or on the rocks? Are you about to fly apart, or you got something underneath holding you up? How about it, friend? Maybe you need to make things right with God this morning. Maybe you need to walk down here, get down on your knees and say, "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I won't leave this place knowing where I'm going." Heavenly Father, please speak to that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who need you so, so bad this morning. Dear God, speak to their heart. Please don't let them leave this place without knowing that they are on the rock. Please, Lord, please, will you do it? Do it for Jesus' sake. Whatever, however you do for us, we'll praise you, we'll thank you, we'll glorify you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.